We're here at the beginning of Edinburgh Fringe. This is the noisy event, Meet the Media. It's so good to bump into people with different things too. This man is in a uniform with one of the best waistcoats I've seen, and you might want to go and see 12th Night from a company that's back at the Fringe, has had great reviews. I'm joined by
Chris.
And Chris is going to tell us how we can see the show, but if we can't get to the show, how they make it accessible to you. So first, just tell us what's new and different about your version of 12th Night.
What's new and different about our version of 12th Night is what we're exploring in it, I think. It is arguably his best comedy, but it has some truly horrific moments. There's a lot of gaslighting. There's a lot of presenting people in a very false light, which is particularly relevant in a modern media-driven world. So we've set it in a Victorian era, partly because that means we can really emphasise the horror of Victorian psychiatry and the consequences of what starts out as seemingly a humorous prank and leads to something really quite horrific. So it is a comedy, it's still funny, it's very family friendly, but it's definitely emphasising some of the dangers of that, which are quite relevant to the modern world.
And Shakespeare and the definition of comedy, for people that don't know, it doesn't mean comedy as we mean today.
Oh no, comedy is all the right people end up with the right people, as it were. Fewer people die. In a tragedy, you end up with the wrong people and corpses all over the stage. In a comedy, most people end up married and happy, if they deserve it.
Judging by what you're wearing, you've set this in a particular time.
Yes, we've gone for a very Victorian setting. It fits the mores of Shakespeare plays quite well. It also reflects a modern setting quite conveniently, and it does allow for wearing glorious waistcoats as well, which is always fun. So in terms of accessibility, we're quite excited that the venue we're in is wheelchair accessible, but if you can't make it to the show, if you're getting out to the Fringe is difficult for whatever reason, be it mobility issues, be it health issues or mental health issues, whatever it might be, we have a service that we offer which we call Shakespeare on the Sofa. So you would go along to the website, ask us for a quote, and depending on what the circumstances are, we can arrange to come to your living room, your school, your hospice, your office, your wedding, we've even been asked about at times.
And what about if you just can't be asked and you've got money?
Then we're more than happy to come in and take your money and perform for you live in your living room, in your garden, if the weather remains as glorious as it is. As long as you've got about an 8-foot by 8-foot space, we can come in and deliver the show right to you.
I might be wrong, but this sounds like Sir Toby Belch talking here.
To be honest, our Sir Toby is marvellous. I am actually the director of the show this year.
Previous, so this is what you normally wear?
I may have dressed up a little bit for the occasion. Those of you who cannot see, there is a glorious yellow cravat and gold brocade waistcoat, which is actually more for Sir Andrew Aguecheek. There is a visual gag involved, which you will understand if you come and see the show.
What do you do with the pure copy of the script? Do you mess with it for good reasons?
We will tend to try and select, well, for a start, we try and keep all of those bits that everyone wants to see when they come and see a Shakespeare show. There are always bits that people are looking out for. And then we try and keep as much of the actual plot as possible, which with 12th Night, it's been very difficult to cut it down. It's a very tightly written play. Which is why I say arguably his best comedy. It is a play wherein everything is useful. There's no wasted language. So cutting that down to 1 hour has been a challenge, which we believe we have risen to very well.
But do you feel guilty when your line is going through beautiful words?
There are times when I do have pangs of conscience. I desperately want to keep all of it. Some things do have to go, so we have to go for the bits that really drive the plot or really emphasise the sort of points we're looking to make with the show.
And given that it's claimed that, you know, Shakespeare was writing scenes even as the previous ones were being acted for the first time, he would get it, wouldn't he? That in theatre, whatever the realities are, he wouldn't be furious, would he?
I would think, if anything, he'd be happy to see what we're doing with it. There is a school of thought that says some of the shows, as we have written, were never performed in their entirety. I think the idea that what we're doing, adapting it to certain spaces, taking it to people's homes, is almost going right back to some of the things he would have been doing. Command performances would have very much been something that he and his company would have been doing at the time.
Quite a lot of polls that ask the question, what's your favourite Shakespeare comedy, seem to always come up with 12th Night. Why do you think that is?
Again, I think it's because it's very tightly written. It uses a lot of themes that show up in some of its other comedies, but there's nothing clumsy about it. And it's a very, very good statement about the state of society, the outward masks that people always wear and getting those glimpses beneath what happens when the masks get in the way of being who you are.
That's a really good point, but I guess what I'm also interested in is that the comedy of that one particularly is very knockabout.
There's a lot of knockabout comedy, yes, and we've got some very carefully choreographed bits of violence in it as well. But I think also it's cruel. The comedy in it is the comedy of cruelty. It is very much laughing at people. It is setting people up to be made objects of ridicule and indeed to be literally sectioned as mad. So it's the cruelty of it. When you see someone who is very pompous and you see them brought down in that regard, I think people will always resonate with that. There will always be a part of us that will find that funny. But perhaps we should also find it just a little bit horrific as well.
It's also probably one of the more accessible ones for children, for the family to go to.
Oh, gosh, yes. The plot is convoluted but not overly complex. It is neatly explained within itself, and there's a lot of running about and changing costume that can be very much enjoyed. There's a lot of seeing people very visually doing things that are funny. The famous yellow stockings cross-gartered scene with Malvolio, for example, being a great example of that.
How do you decide the next one?
We like to alternate. We like to go with comedy and tragedy and comedy and tragedy. We will often look for things that are perhaps relevant to what's going on in the world around us, but often it has as much to do with the fact that we love the plays. We love all of them, so we just do the ones that we feel we will most enjoy doing as well, because that joy does come across when you do a show. There will always be that feeling of, is this something that the people doing really love? And we love all of them.
Directors dig deep at fringe festivals. What do you particularly have to draw upon as a director when you're doing Shakespeare that's different from other plays?
I think you have to draw upon the fact that things that were common knowledge back when it was written are less obvious now. You have to find ways to make it accessible to a modern audience. You also have to find ways to make some of the problems that characters are presented with still relevant when so much of society and the different levels and strata of it have changed.
The noise rises at this great trade fair known as Meet the Media at the Edinburgh Fringe. I'm delighted to have been talking about Twelfth Night. Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you very much.